Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you are definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through, perimenopause, menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. Certainly, perimenopause especially threw me for a loop far before I was expecting it. The good news is that we don't have to suffer through any of it anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. In fact, Hormone Harmony has become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. That's 50 orders in the time it takes you to listen to Self Work. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code SELFWORK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code SELFWORK for 15% off your first order today. As a psychologist, I've talked to many people with OCD about their experiences. The idea that OCD is only about hand washing and organization is a misconception. OCD is a severe and very common condition. OCD can latch onto anything, but it often focuses on the things we care about most. In an attempt to make the distress from their unwanted thoughts go away, people with OCD will often engage in repetitive physical or mental behaviors known as compulsions, which can be incredibly time-consuming and exhausting. Yet OCD is highly treatable, but it needs specialized treatment. NoCD is a virtual therapy provider for OCD that makes getting specialized therapy easier than ever. With NoCD, you can do live, face-to-face video therapy with licensed therapists who specialize in OCD. Therapists receive in-depth specialized training in exposure and response prevention, or ERP, a type of therapy that was designed specifically to treat OCD. NoCD accepts many major insurance plans and offers always-on support between sessions. If you think you might be struggling with OCD and want to learn more about therapy with NoCD, go to NoCD.com and schedule a free 15-minute call with their team. That's NoCD.com to learn more and book a free 15-minute call. Do you wish you had a healthier diet? Let's be real. Eating healthy can be a hassle. There's shopping and meal prep, and especially if you're trying to manage depression or anxiety, what if there was an easier way and a way for you to be assured you're taking care of your family? Meet Sunbasket, a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens, literally dozens, of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. I discovered Sunbasket during the pandemic, and was that ever a game changer? Their meal kits are quick and easy, even if you're not a pro in the kitchen. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitment to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very best. So go to sunbasket.com/selfwork today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/selfwork to save $120 across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. This is Self Work, and I'm Dr. Margaret Rutherford. At Self Work, we discuss psychological and emotional issues and what you can do about them. Whether that's learning self-acceptance, taking action, or seeking therapy or treatment. 8 years ago, I extended the walls of my practice to reach those of you who might already be knowledgeable about mental health treatment, but also to those of you who might say you'd never darken the door of a therapist. And yet, you are here. I'll answer your questions while I invite you to take a few minutes for your own self-work. Most people enter therapy more cautiously or slowly. As a therapist, I have to earn their trust and connect with them as quickly as I can, offering what I hope feels like a safe space to share whatever struggles they have with me. Therapists aren't some kind of guru that has all the answers. Our job is to provide that safe emotional space and then work with you. Welcome to this week's edition of Self Work. I gave a workshop last week in Kansas to a group of therapists who live and work there about how to recognize and treat perfectly hidden depression or destructive perfectionism. And what I loved most about it were their questions. Why? Because we learned together. This isn't some kind of false humility on my part. Yes, I'm the one giving the presentation, but I don't have all the answers. And as we talked through some of their questions, meaning that we discussed what seemed to be the best answers to them, several people contributed as well as me. I love that kind of discussion. Today, we're going to discuss questions or comments you've made to me, either because you've listened to a self-work episode, you've read my book, you've read a blog post of mine on my website, or somehow my work has reached you. I wish we could all talk together about it. But I'm always honored when readers and listeners like you reach out, and I encourage you to do so. Before we go on, let's hear from our wonderful sponsor, AG1. When AG1 first approached me about sponsoring self-work, I of course had to try it. I not only loved it because I could tell an improvement in my overall energy level, I could tell a difference in how my body felt. How even with my busy schedule, I could count on my body doing what it was supposed to do every day. And now there are studies being published showing that what I've been feeling is backed up by science. In one study, 97% of participants felt digestion improved after 90 days of drinking AG1. And in another, the actual composition of the microbes in your gut changed for the better. Add that to the fact that AG1 is in powder form, so it's easier for your body to digest. What good is a supplement if your body can't absorb and use it? So start with AG1 and notice the difference for yourself. It's a great first step to investing in your health, and that's why they've been a proud partner of mine for so long. Try AG1 and get a free bottle of vitamin D3K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase at drinkag1.com/selfwork. That's a $48 value for free if you go to drinkag1.com/selfwork. Check it out. Let's dig right into this first SpeakPipe voice message.
Hello, I just listened to the podcast with Terry McGuire. What stood out for me was one of the definitions of depression is the loss of interest of parts of one activity that used to bring pleasure. That kind of really tweaked to me that I am in a depression and must do something about it. I force myself to do some of the activities that are enjoyable. They're enjoyable in the moment. They fatigue me beyond what I think is reasonable. And I've got to figure out what to do to get back on track. I thank you so much for producing this podcast, and I thank my God that for whatever reason, I turned it on today. That's it for now.
The guest that this listener mentions, Terry McGuire, is one of those friends of mine who I've never actually met, but have talked to many times, as she also runs a podcast on depression called Giving Voice to Depression and runs a very active Facebook group by that name. And she struggled with depression herself for years and is quite open about it. I'll have the link to that episode in the show notes. What this listener, let's call her Anna, is talking about is the second major criteria for depression, a lack of interest in things that previously have been something you look forward to or gained meaning from doing. The fancy word for it is anhedonia. Hedonistic things are things that bring pleasure, so anhedonistic things have lost their pleasure. The reason why I pull this particular comment is twofold. First, it surprised me a little to realize that Anna had realized that something was wrong if she didn't enjoy her life as much, or that it took so much more out of her to do the same things that had always been pleasurable for her. But then when I stopped and thought about it, there are probably many things you can tell yourself about why that's happening. I'm getting older is one. You can blame your body or your age for your fatigue. But actually, studies show that as we get older, depression isn't as prevalent, which may be the opposite of what many people think. Or maybe you could also say, I've just done this so many times, I'm tired of it, which could be true. Novelty is an important factor in enjoyment. But there can also be meaning in ritual. And yes, maybe you've gone to many a dance recital or football game to watch your grandkids or your kids, but when they look for you in the stands or the audience, the smile that's on their face gives a fresh lift to you being there. Now, if that smile doesn't light up your own life, there's a problem. And that could also be depression. I remember Terry talking about how she'd gone from being a dynamo news anchor to barely being able to drag herself out of bed, sitting in the dark for days on end. There were lots of things contributing to her depression, but her lack of energy, her having lost the capacity to enjoy anything, was devastating. It sounds as if when Anna realized that her mental and emotional and physical exhaustion wasn't normal, that it could be depression, it's as if she could see herself more objectively. Oh, this isn't me. It's depression. Which makes me think she'd been chastising herself for feeling the way she did. I've used this analogy before about depression. Think of yourself sitting in a room where the lights are ever so slightly going down, a tiny bit at a time. You don't realize that in order to see, you need to squint or strain more and more. That's how depression can be. Not always. Sometimes it comes on quickly, but it can literally seep into your being very slowly. And you don't even notice it until one day you can't see it all. There's one warning. You also need to check out to make sure that there's not a medical reason you're fatigued. Certain medical problems like thyroid issues can play a huge role in fatigue. Whether there are sleep or nutrition issues is another. So you don't have to be crying or sad or melancholy or angry all the time to consider, maybe I'm depressed. Anhedonia might be the major thing you're feeling, and that certainly could be depression. Here's an email from another listener, and she's talking about not wanting to chicken out and not go to her therapy appointment with a new therapist. She goes, "Hi, Dr. Margaret. I have to be honest, I'm writing to you mainly so I don't chicken out and cancel. It makes me feel accountable to someone to tell them what I'm doing, even if it is someone I only know through the internet. I have recently contacted a new therapist to set up an appointment. I saw a therapist for about a year in 2019, but I ended therapy, my choice, after about a year. I feel that the therapy helped me deal with the issues going on in my life at the time, but now she's retired and I need help again, hence the new therapist. It's scary, preparing to bare your soul to a person you don't know. Uncertainty is scary. I can and I will do it. I'm also writing you to tell you that I enjoy your podcasts. I've learned a lot from you. Thank you for all you do. Too bad you don't live in Georgia. I would definitely choose you as a therapist." Well, I wish I was in Georgia too. This is a common comment I hear about entering therapy, especially if you've had a good relationship with another therapist and you wish you could just go back to them. But maybe you've moved or they've retired or they don't take your insurance anymore, whatever it is. So what's the issue? That you hate opening yourself up again, bearing your soul, as this writer says, to someone new. I get it. It can feel very vulnerable to come into therapy. It might not be as good a fit, and you'll choose not to go back. You can tell yourself, well, that was useless. So I have a thought for you before you risk walking into a new therapist's office. My thought is that everything you do or try or risk changes you in some way. You grow because of the risk. You learn something in the process. Now, maybe you'll say, yeah, I learned I don't want to do that again. Okay, well, maybe, if it was truly a bad experience. But this is what I experienced going to new therapists from time to time over the years. I found that I didn't tell the same story to the second therapist that I'd told my first one. Why? Because I'd changed. I'd grown. The basics of my story might be the same. But not necessarily the way I understood those basics. That's what had changed. I might talk about my mother or my dad or my brothers or early relationships or whatever. And obviously, those things aren't necessarily going to change. But how many times have you said, you know, looking back, I realize now, and you finish that sentence somehow. We do it all the time. This is what can happen when you go into a second or third or fourth therapist. My first therapy was about getting over my divorce, but looking back, I realize now, whatever you do, So yes, it's bearing your soul. But first, you can do that at the pace you feel comfortable, and you don't have to do that at all, especially at first. Two, what you bear may be different than before, and you also get to say what you learned with your first therapist that was so valuable to you. Now, what if you're considering going to therapy for the first time? There are some people who come into therapy and the first session I'm taking notes furiously fast because their words are spilling out so quickly I can barely keep up with them. Those are usually the people who have some immediate and urgent reason to be in therapy. Most people enter therapy more cautiously or slowly. As a therapist, I have to earn their trust and connect with them as quickly as I can, offering what I hope feels like a safe space to share whatever struggles they have with me. Please remember, therapists aren't some kind of guru that has all the answers. Our job is to provide that safe emotional space and then work with you, using our experience with other people just like you, to help you find your own way to understanding and healing. So let's take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Are you tired of waking up feeling sore and stiff in the morning, or maybe the words bone on bone are all too familiar? If you're middle-aged, chances are it has to do with the fact that your body isn't making as much of one specific type of protein as it used to. Dr. Chad Walding, a renowned doctor of physical therapy, says the overwhelming conversation he has with patients struggling with bone and joint issues has to do with this specific protein deficiency. The good news? Simply adding it back into your diet is scientifically backed to support bone density, soothe joint discomfort, and boost mobility. Plus, it's the most abundant protein in the body. So not only does it reinvigorate the body with denser bone health, but studies have shown dramatic improvements in hair, skin, nails, and digestion. Get the full story free of charge by visiting getnativepath.com/selfwork. That website again is getnativepath.com/selfwork. That is getnativepath.com/selfwork. Here's another SpeakPipe message from a man, let's call him Anthony, who's wondering whether he has borderline personality disorder. This clip is a little longer than the first, but I found it very interesting.
Hi, so I'm trying to understand whether I suffer from borderline personality disorder. Now, I have a very dysfunctional, toxic family where, well, I know that everything originates from my mother. And growing up, I was the golden child because I was always told how wonderful, how great, how much she loves me and how much she doesn't love the other two. So she made sure that she made the comparison. It left the three of us quite messed up because all three of us are unmarried. She always asked us to get settled, but don't get married till you get settled. I always failed to understand what she meant, and she had no idea herself. I have reached the danger mark of mid-age, and it's kind of, you know, over the last few years, my attempts to get into like a healthy love relationship, romantic relationship has failed constantly. And it's really, it really bothers me because I do fear the person leaving me. I fear the idea of trusting somebody to be monogamous, to be loyal, to really love me. And I don't know whether people do have the patience or the gumption to want to be with me in the long term. There was a time when I was giving them great sex and I thought, oh my God, this is my value, this is my worth. As long as I give them good sex, they will be with me. And the moment I'm not able to, I'm certain that they will leave me. So sometimes when I'm able to have sex, I set the bar so high, in my head at least, that I can't repeat it again. And then I feel like I'm not living up to their expectations and they're going to leave me. Anyways, where I'm rambling a bit, I want to know whether I have borderline personality disorder or if I have ADHD or I have avoidant personality disorder. Or I have, I don't know, I feel like I've got traits of everything.
Anthony went on to describe that his mom expected him to dote on her, and his job was to make her happy, even when he was a child. And that would happen maybe for a day or two when he tried something, he was cute or funny, or he was accomplishing something, or he listened to her. But then she'd be unhappy again. We've talked before about what's called enmeshment, and this is certainly it, enmeshment with a parent, and how the problem for the child that's pulled into that dynamic is that you feel special, that you're the chosen one, but the job you're trying to do to make that parent happy is something you fail at doing, or that's the way you perceive it. Your specialness, quote-unquote, depends on what you can do for your parent. You don't experience that you're special because of you. You learn that you're special only when you're pleasing someone else. You can hear that dynamic playing out in Anthony's life sexually. He has to be the best sexual partner, but then he becomes his own worst critic, fearing that he can't repeat such a fantastic performance. Sex is then not about intimacy, but about achievement. It also can set up a very unhealthy dynamic between the chosen child and the unchosen one. They learn that there's not enough love for everyone, and there can be intense resentment, or the unchosen kids act out or withdraw, or spend their lives trying to get what the chosen one gets. It's also interesting, isn't it, that his mom stressed being settled before marriage, and Anthony didn't know what that meant. I'm not really sure either, but what it suggests to me is that she was manipulating her kids, and especially Anthony, to believe that there was some achievement that had to be earned before they could leave her and live their own lives. Was she going to decide if they were settled? It's odd. Now, if I want to be kind, maybe she meant something like being financially stable, but it's very unclear, and I can hear how manipulative that felt. Here's my last point for now, at least. When Anthony says he believes he could have borderline personality disorder, and then later in his recording he says he has multiple traits of mental health problems, what does that mean? At its most basic, having a borderline personality means that you totally lack empathy, that almost all of your relationships, but especially ones where you're trying to more deeply connect, those relationships are characterized by emotional chaos, manipulation, blaming, impulsivity. Now, all of this coming from you, and there's a significant struggle with any real intimacy. What it sounds like to me is that Anthony's self-image, or what he believes about himself, he lacks self-acceptance. Basically, he's kind of saying, I find myself in almost any list of what could be wrong or unhealthy about someone. Perhaps he would fit the criteria for a personality disorder or ADHD or whatever, but what does he believe about himself that's positive? I hear that he can see where he stumbles, where he tends to make mistakes in judgment or repeat patterns in relationships that don't work. He can see that a lot of his problems come from his relationship with his mom. All that's good. But he gets stuck there. I'm just a big problem. It sounds to me that one of Anthony's strengths is that he tries to be objective about himself, which, by the way, doesn't fit with the stereotype of someone with borderline personality disorder. He's trying to own what is his to own in the problems he has with others, and he has insight. But he's stuck. You've heard me say, insight is enlightening, but where you get hope is through behavior change. So what might help him choose to act differently? This is something so many of us struggle with. Oh, I understand the problem, but I can't seem to make myself do or say or be any different. Let's talk about this in Anthony's situation. Here's an example that I thought of. What if before he had sex with someone else, when he was actually growing closer to them and wanting to have sex with them, that he revealed to them that he at times has performance anxiety? And they could talk about it. By the way, that kind of performance anxiety is very common for men, sexual performance struggles. He would be risking to create a much truer version of intimacy than simply having great sex and then bowing out of the relationship because of fear. I hope that's helpful to you, Anthony. Thank you so much for reaching out. Here's the last email that I want to read that revealed both shame and grief. This is just a short paragraph, but it was very moving. I'm going through a very difficult time in my life right now. I have hurt people that love me. I have self-sabotaged. I ruined a relationship and have been reeling from that. But I was listening to a podcast where you spoke about guilt and shame. Your words hit very deeply. It really felt like you were talking directly to me about my feelings. It's a very hard thing to even verbalize what it is that I feel. I'll be honest, I got very emotional listening to you describe what I am going through. So, what do you do when you feel as if you've hurt other people as well as yourself? I speak openly about my own divorces and how I carried around shame for years about that. I finally opened up about it when a new client of mine said in a first session, "Oh, I'm getting a second divorce," and she was crying, "but you wouldn't know how that feels." I told her she was joining a club that I'd been a member of for many years. That's all I said, but that was enough. At that moment, I was turning shame into guilt. Remember, he said he was listening to the episode about the difference between shame and guilt. So what is that difference? When you do something for which you have remorse, you feel guilty. You know you hurt someone, whether that was intentional or unintentional. Or you just messed up or something. I did something wrong. I made a mistake. That's guilt. The thing I did was bad. Shame is when you say, "I'm a bad person because I did that thing." There's a huge difference, and a huge difference in the impact of feeling and owning that you've made some kind of mistake that you need to apologize for or otherwise try to rectify, but not that you're a horrible, inexcusably bad person. But let's talk for a minute about this listener's response to the podcast. He says he became very emotional at listening to my description of what he was going through, of putting words to his experience that he could not. I hear that response from many people in therapy, something like, "I didn't know how to express the way I felt, but now I feel as if I have the words for it." Therapy can teach people how to express those feelings, be they positive emotions or more painful ones, feelings that they knew existed but struggled to talk about. And just like this listener said, there's something very freeing and almost relieving about claiming or putting words to an emotion. You can hear that relief in his email. He's been completely down on himself for self-sabotaging, and he's really hurting over that relationship ending. But he also must have been living in shame about it. Now, if he can move more into guilt, into simple remorse, and try to learn from it, then there's a way out for him. There's hope. There's self-compassion and self-acceptance. Thank you to all of you who've written in or sent a voicemail. I really love to hear from you. We all learn from your questions and comments. So please write me at askdrmargaret@drmargaretrutherford.com or leave a message in the SpeakPipe app, which you can find easily in your show notes, wherever you listen, or on my website, drmargaretrutherford.com. Right up at the top, it has a banner. Record a message for Dr. Margaret's podcast. You heard at the beginning of the intro that I spoke in Kansas last week, and this week I'm headed to Houston. If you work for a clinic or are a member of an organization that would be interested in hearing about the problems inherent in perfectionism or just issues with mental health and how you begin to address them in your business, please contact me. You can do that through the contact form at my website, drmargaretrutherford.com, or you can just email me yourself. This podcast episode is going to air after the elections here in the United States. However you feel, whether it's joyful and triumphant or whether it's beaten down and discouraged, please talk to your friends about it, especially if it's the latter. Do something with your feelings. Do something for someone else with your feelings. And remember history. There have been many changes of power within history. And whether, again, you're delighted about this one or you're grieving it, it will have its place in time and in the history of the United States. Thank you, as always, for being here. Please take care of yourself, your loved ones, and your community. I'm Dr. Margaret, and this has been Self Work.